Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Radio Free Credit Union Show with your hosts, Jason Dias and Troy Hall. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free. Good afternoon on the East Coast, good morning on the West Coast, and a great day to you wherever you may be across this wonderful country of ours. My name is Jason Dias, and you are listening to the Radio Free Credit Union Show, broadcasting live from the epicenter of Generation Next here at my son's lovely small private Lutheran school in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, and joined as always by my co-host. He is the COO of South Carolina Federal Credit Union, your buddy and mine, Mr. Troy Hall. Hey, Troy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine, Jason, and happy Memorial Day weekend to you, buddy.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to you as well, and to all of you, wherever or whenever you may be listening. And Troy, it is actually here at Cross, the last day of school. So I know the kids And we have a special guest in studio with us today. We're doing our third remote, our second time here at Cross Lutheran. If you folks remember, last year we did a show called The Millennials. We did it on July 3rd, and one of the young people that we featured, her name is Caitlin, and she goes to school here. She is actually the valedictorian of the 8th grade class, and she's moving on to Canyon High School next year. So everyone say hello to Caitlin Anderson, the 2011 valedictorian here at Cross. I want to first start by saying the reason we have Caitlin in here is I think the students going into high school next fall will be all millennials. It'll be an all millennial class versus Generation Y. And so I just wanted to ask, you know, Caitlin, what are some of your plans this summer?
Well, we're going on a family East Coast trip to like Boston and New York and stuff. So that should be really fun. And I'm doing a bunch of volleyball camps to prepare me for volleyball season next year. And definitely a lot of swimming.
A lot of swimming.
Yeah.
Troy, what kind of stuff are y'all going to do to keep up with people like Caitlin this summer?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to ask her if any of her attitudes have changed since the last time we spoke with her. And so I need to ask her, are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am.
Aha. Uh-huh. And are you on Twitter?
No.
No, you're still not on Twitter. Okay. And so how about texting? Have you texted this morning?
Yes.
Aha. Uh-huh. I knew that. And do you now get any offers? Do you get offers that come to you via text to be able to take advantage of sales or discounts or things?
No, not really.
Not really. Okay. Well, I just want to, so pretty much what we're going to do to keep up with her is going to keep asking her questions so we know what to do.
Well, like I said, she was the valedictorian for the class. You people will probably hear about her sometime in the future because I'm convinced she's going to be famous doing something. And it was just a treat to have her back on the air. Thank you so much, Caitlin.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Caitlin.
You know, I cannot tell you how invaluable the experience is for me to spend as much time as I do around these young folks. So it's always a lot of fun to have the young people nearby. So anyway, hey, listen, Troy.
And it really does. It's good to have young people near us, and I'm really glad that our end of the month guest is a young person too.
She's very young, and if it is the end of the month and it's the last Friday of the month, it can only mean one thing, right?
That's right.
Right. Never change, never stop. Her name is Sarah Snell Cook. She is the editor of the CU Times, and she joined us every month, the last Friday of the month. And as always, Troy has a question for you.
I would just want to welcome you to the show, and it is, what say you, Sarah?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. You know, I think your last guest, she's all right because she plays volleyball, so yeah. I'm good with her. Very important for Koreans and everybody to pay attention to the young people. So that's one thing I say. In the news this last month, I would say there are a couple really interesting things for credit unions. One was the NCUA's unveiling of its master plan for a voluntary corporate prepayment program, which is, I don't know, a lot of wait-and-see attitude. I brought it up when I was speaking at an engagement last week, and lots of head shaking, and heard some how can they be so out of touch kind of statements going on there. The other one, the story that's kind of just amusing me at this time, is the story of Little Venture Federal Credit Union, which is a $2.7 million credit union, recently conserved by the NCUA. This credit union was taking in $2.7 million, mind you, in assets, taking in $2 million in fees, and nobody noticed. Also, apparently, nobody noticed that it disappeared from New York and all of a sudden, a while later, appeared in Arizona. So, you know, NCUA kind of a little bit in trouble with that one. Anyway, so that's what's on my radar. I know you guys have a few questions about other stuff going on.
Well, you know, for me, I have to tell you, and I always like, you know, I scour the Credit Union Times. I really love it because it does help me stay abreast of stuff. And so I always get a chuckle because when you talked about the NCUA, you talked about this venture thing, and then one of the big items on your May 25th issue is the NCUA's biggest earners. And they, you know, 25 make more than $201,000. And, you know, go through and you read the article and you realize, you know, that so it's no big deal. And the FDIC has people earn a lot of money. And I just love, though, I got down to Jim Blaine's comment on page 34. And I just have to tell you that, so I'm going to read some of what he says and then see if you want to be able to comment on that. He says, government salaries are appropriate to the skill level, and we want the best qualified folks at the NCUA and to pay them appropriately. But the question is not whether the salary level is appropriate. The question is whether the performance of those holding those positions meets the expectations.
I 100% agree with Jim Blaine. I think a lot of credit union executives would make that statement, you know, behind closed doors. One thing I think Jim realizes is that, you know, his credit union, they've gotten in some tiffs with NCUA lately and over the last several years, really. But the important thing is, if your credit union's solid, then what can NCUA really do to you? So why not speak out and get some attention for the problem? There are some credit unions that have brought the petition to Congress to have NCUA overhauled. I'm not thrilled with that idea just because there's not enough of a mass support behind it, public mass support behind it. But, you know, as recently as last week, I had a CEO write me and say, I would love to say all this stuff about how we're so frustrated with NCUA examinations, the examiners don't know what they're doing, that kind of thing. But I can't say anything because NCUA will, you know, retaliate. And I told him basically what I just said, you know, if you're solid and you come out and say these things and then they do something, it's obviously going to be retaliation. And there's a story for us again right there. So.
And not to cut Jason off here, but I'll just follow up and ask you this. But do you think that, like, a number of articles, like even the one from last week talked about, or I saw it online, where it was making commentary about the unqualified opinion letter from the audit, which, by the way, is a good thing. But then it went on to say that there were a lot of items that were questionable, that were kind of somewhere in the whole report. I mean, doesn't this stuff make us look like we're not – a very well-run organization, and doesn't that create more reasons why government may want to move toward taxation of credit unions and get them all under one umbrella and simply say, well, look, if the NCUA, you're showing how incompetent you guys are, so why not just move you under the FDIC, because we know we're pretty smart.
That's possible. I mean, you got to remember, too, though, the FDIC could have probably foreseen the economic crisis coming as well. The response has been, public opinion seems to be, that the response from the FDIC has been a lot more early action and smart, swift action. At the same time, they weren't really ringing any bells about, you know, an over-concentration in mortgage-backed securities and a housing bubble and all this either. So... They're, you know, the NCUA's problems, yes, they've had quite a few of late, the controversy over Arrowhead, and why wasn't Texans taken over earlier, and the corporate crisis, of course. And, down in Texas, I think it was 2005, NCAA twice in a row was ruled as acting arbitrary and capricious. There's definitely a pattern there, and if it doesn't get resolved, of course, that's one resolution, is to put them under a different regulator, and not long after that would be taxation, I would guess. But at the same time, probably also, if they were to move Cranes more toward a bank-like charter, they would probably also have access to supplemental capital as well as expanded business lending powers. So,
yeah.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, as usual, I don't know where we'd be in terms of, I mean, you're right, there are some credit union people that just would rather stay out of it. They don't want to get involved with it. But I like your point that, hey, if you've got a watertight shop, you don't have anything to worry about. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was an article of yours that Troy and I both mentioned on the show a couple weeks ago. It was all about how they're probably the lowest paid people at your credit union, and yet they may be the most important people at your credit union involved with talking about the credit union, talking about all this stuff. It had to do with I forgot the exact title of the column, but it had to do with
competing with banks is not just
not
about
just,
pricing.
Yep. I think, Sarah, I believe definitively that if people made a pie chart of where they're winning new business at their credit union, there would be a lot of big wedges in some of your more traditional advertising mediums, and stuff like Twitter and Facebook would be very, very minute. I still think lots and lots of relationships are won and lost in the branches, and it seems like you were kind of saying the same thing.
Well, I think there was a comment by Tony Vitale at Cuddle when I was out at their conference, and he said, you know, you give people an option and they'll take it. So, I mean, it's not that people are leaving branches entirely. Those are still needed as well, you know, in favor of the online world. But absolutely, the branches and the face-to-face communication is still important, whether you're, you know, 80 or 20. I think a lot of times the training and salaries are seen as expenses rather than investments. Mm-hmm. And you're going to pay somebody minimum wage, you're going to get minimum wage work. And
it was a great article. We're going out to we're opening up the Marketing Association of Credit Union show next Wednesday in beautiful downtown San Francisco. And one of my big messages to all those marketers in attendance is going to be about how, man, it is time to get back to basics. I'm, you know, Sarah, we all see each other out there on Twitter and the social media sites, but I'm convinced that a lot of the new business that's going to come to credit unions over the next few years is not going to come from these social networks, but from some of the very, very basic things that I think you identified correctly as places where I think maybe we've stopped paying a lot of attention to, like training. A lot of our tellers that are early 20s, they've been conditioned to have very short, lack of interpersonal conversation sometimes, and yet they're engaging people who still want a very traditional banking culture each and every morning and afternoon at the credit union. So I thought that was a great article. And if you folks, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to go on over to the CU Times site and look for it. Really good stuff. Hey, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us as always, and we'll see you next month.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
Bye, Sarah.
Enjoy the long weekend.
You too. All right. Troy, always one of my favorite sections. Always one of my favorite segments.
Yeah, me too. And I tell you what, today I could have just continued to drill a little bit more on some of that. So we'll just leave that as an opportunity for some additional follow-up.
Well, the NCUA stuff continues to be front and top of mind kind of stuff with everybody I talk to out there in the credit union marketplace. And Sarah's cool enough that if something really big happens, she would always come back maybe before the end of the month in June. So we'll keep our eyes on that as well. Hey, listen, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, hey, Troy, guess what? I got some other of those cool millennials that came in that want to say hey to the Radio Free Credit Union audience. We'll be right back after this.
All right. You're listening to the Radio Free Credit Union show on blogtalkradio.com. Call in live to talk, 646 646-
515-9274.
All right, you're back on the Radio Free Credit Union show where the talk is hot and the hosts are...
hotter.
Much hotter, much hotter. It is a long Memorial Day weekend, and it is the last day of school here at my son's little private Lutheran school in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof. And I've got Lizette, who said Merry Christmas to our audience at Christmas time, and her good buddy, Jenna. And I was going to ask them the same question I asked Caitlin. What kind of, I'm going to go to Lizette first. What kind of big activities do you have planned for this summer?
I'm going to go to Schlitterbahn.
Yes, Schlitterbahn, big, big deal here. Schlitterbahn, you'll see it on the Discovery Channel, is the best water park in America. And Troy, we're actually going to have one of the head honchos from Schlitterbahn joining us on the program in June, talking about how they've managed to create this multi-generational success story of water parks all over the country. And, of course, we've got another super athlete here. Her name is Jenna. Jenna, what kind of stuff are you going to be doing this summer?
My family and I are going to Colorado and are going camping.
All right, camping. Now, you two are how old? They're 12. Are you both pretty? You both on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
All right. Anything you want to ask them, Troy?
I just want to ask them, what are some of the activities that they look for to do when they're online? What do they like to do online?
Okay. I like to, if I'm on Facebook, I like to talk to my friends on, the chat thing.
You use the chat online?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And what about you, Jenna?
I usually just type what's going on. Yeah.
Do you guys use it for invitations? Do you invite your friends to parties or activities through the Facebook invite?
I don't, but I get them.
Yeah, me too.
You get them. Okay. All right, good. All right, that's cool.
One of the things I like about these guys is that, that's why I'm always telling credit unions that when you get the attention of, say, a Lizette, it's not just her. You're going to get her, and there's probably five or six of her friends that, Troy, are in constant contact with one another from the moment they wake up in the morning to the moment where they lie to their parents and say they're going to bed, but they're really playing Nintendo DS in the dark late at night. And
no, they don't do that.
No, we don't do that.
No, we've got great kids. Yeah, that's right. Lizette just said, no, I've got an iPod Touch. Why would I ever use a Nintendo DS? But this is the future of the credit union marketplace here. These are young people that are, they're both going to be in seventh grade next year. They're going to be stepping into the upper class here at Cross. They're going to have to be leaders. And in a few years, they'll be making some pretty significant decisions about high school and then college and the big circle of life. Troy just keeps rolling.
Absolutely.
Let me think here now. Troy, you're on Facebook, yes?
Yes.
I am this close. I've got my finger and my thumb and my trigger finger just inches apart here. I am close to proclaiming Twitter irrelevant to me. Did that surprise you?
Well, no, considering how you have bashed on it for a year already, I don't think so. But it's really interesting. But someone, I'm trying to try to find the article here real quick, but I couldn't get it online. But we were talking about this in the hallway yesterday. But someone said that actually Twitter is already a force. So it's not like it's an upcoming force. It is already a force to be reckoned with.
I think it is with celebrities and stuff like that. But I'm not a celebrity. And in terms of my business, I really have not had any kind of discernible uptick. The majority of my business continues to come to me through email and telephone calls. And I would have said that in 2001. I'm saying it's still in 2011. Either one of y'all use Twitter?
No.
No, sir.
No. See, they don't use it. So it's just Facebook for y'all and anything else?
Texting,
of course.
Texting,
of course. And they're like little robots, Troy, when they text. It's sort of like... I've always wondered, maybe we really are in the Matrix and these are like the super robots that have been, sent to destroy us all or something with their texting.
Hey, Jason, let's ask them if they had an opportunity to pay with cash or they could use their telephone to make a payment, what would they prefer to do?
They're thinking about it. What do you think, Jenna? you really got them perplexed there, Troy.
Okay, what was the question again?
The question is, if you had the option to pay with cash or your telephone, which one would you rather use?
Oh, just cash.
Yeah, I say cash.
And why would you not want to use your telephone if you could just use your telephone right up at the cash register?
I don't know. It might be too complicated for me. Me too.
Okay.
All right.
Well
this
is let me just say this, Jason. We're in serious trouble because the industry is spending billions of dollars to move toward mobile payments by telephone. So we'll see.
I think people like you and I will use them. And honestly, the thing is with these two guys, they're always in constant motion. You really can't whip out your cell phone at Schlitterbahn when you're soaking wet and make a payment for something. And when you're at a volleyball tournament or a softball tournament, it's just easier to reach in your pocket. But I do believe by the time these young ladies are in high school, it's going to be something that we do without even thinking about it. I think that carryability is going to be a big deal.
I agree with that. I think it's still that they're at where they are as far as the value of money and the use and the transactions of money. When they start getting into a daily use of it on multiple bases, they'll want the most convenient and easy way to do it.
All right. Well, listen, I'm going to let these guys get back to their class party. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll see you guys.
We'll see you. Bye.
All right. Bye now. Now, here's what I know about last time we had some of the students on the show. Do you know what was the most listened to show we had last summer?
The most listened to, well, I folded all this stuff up and put it away, but go ahead, tell me.
It was the show where we had the three millennials on, and I found out it's because they forwarded it to everybody. The archive link of the show to all their friends and family on Facebook and stuff like that. So.
Got it.
A lot of people outside our core audience will get to hear from you and me and Sarah and Caitlin and Lizette and all the folks here at Kloss, Jenna. Hey, Troy, you know, it is with 7 minutes left in the show. It is Memorial Day weekend. I know you guys are closed on Monday. Do you have any big plans for the weekend?
Well, just generally for the weekend is, just an opportunity to celebrate the family. And I know that, you know, for many of us, we kind of reduce it to picnics and pool parties and things of that nature. But, you know, really for us, Memorial Day is still honoring those people who have fought or are fighting or those who have passed along. And, you know, it's interesting, but Memorial Day was first established in 1868, and it was in order to honor the soldiers who had fallen during the Civil War. And the first state, which was New York, actually celebrated it in 1873. And it really took until 1971 before it became a nationally observed holiday.
Interesting stuff. Now, I knew that about 1968. I did not know that about 1971. Now, I wanted to ask you, you know, you just heard us talking to some of the young people. Over the summer, if you could say a best practice that you could share with credit unions for keeping up with these very mobile, very, very technically astute young people. Is there anything that you would throw out there?
I'm at a loss. Sorry.
It is tricky because you heard them. They stay kind of self-contained in their own small groups. They do a lot of stuff. One of the other things, Troy, that I'm going to talk to the audience about on Wednesday next in the context of marketing is, have you ever heard that song by Sting, If You Love Someone, Set Them Free?
Yes, I have.
It's going to be about how I don't know what the magic number is, Troy. How many impressions do I actually need to make on my member each and every day? But what I'm going to encourage, I think the core people at South Carolina Federal Credit Union that come to South Carolina each and every day, they love you. I mean, they like you. They like what you do. I don't know that they need a lot of, you know, take a survey. What do you think of this? It's almost like if you trust that you've done a good job with your brand, just set your people free, and when they need you, they'll come back to you. Is that a risky marketing proposition, or do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about, and I think from a conceptual standpoint that, I mean, it sounds really romantic. The reality is that you have to keep a pulse on what's going on, but you don't want to make it so awkward or inconvenient. So for us, we use some intelligence when it comes to the surveying, and we know when we have asked people questions like phone survey, so they don't get barraged with a phone survey over and over and over again. If A, they have already taken it, or B, they have declined on it, they won't get a request again for maybe another 9 months to a year.
Right.
So,
okay.
So I think that's what you have to do, is put it out there, because you want to be able to garner feedback from folks, and you want to not only have it where they're free to tell you, but you also want them to know it's important for them to tell you, so you ask them. And the absence of asking them for information might come across as though you really don't care for their feedback, and you just have those silly forms out there just for no reason. So
right.
That's what I think.
Good stuff. Hey, listen, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap the show up. I'm going to tell you all a story about a young man who took a break from his work down in Florida and chose to go serve in Iraq back in 2003, and we'll do that right after this. Right, you are back on the Radio Free Credit Union show, where the talk is hot and the hosts are...
Hosts are hotter.
Much, much hotter. All right. Troy, now I know you and I share this in common. We have a lot of respect for our military, and we always have. And it was 2003, and I was driving up to Austin, Texas, and I heard this story. And every Memorial Day, I think about it. There was a gentleman by the name of David K. Fridley. He was working as an activities coordinator at a place called Shell Point Retirement Center down in Florida. And, it's hard to believe it's been 2003 now, 8 years, 9 years. And he had a great job. He had a college degree from Purdue, and the events of September 11th compelled him to leave his job in Florida, and he joined the Marine Corps. And I know, as a guy that hires people, you've probably seen a lot of cover letters on resumes and stuff like this. I just wanted to read you a clip from his letter of resignation when he explained to the people at Shell Point why he was leaving. He said, "The greatest gift one can give to another is the gift of service. May I honor you with this following gift. I want to honor you, our fellow countrymen and women. I will earn the privilege to wear the eagle, the globe, and anchor for all those who cannot. And with all the strength of my fellow Marines, we shall always provide you with the comforting feeling of safety that you have each and every day." And, he was at Camp Lejeune, not far from you in South Carolina, and he did lose his life early in the war in 2003 outside Ayin Azariah. And I just hope that on Monday, and you said something, Troy, that was so true, it's been reduced to furniture, car sales, and picnics. And I know in the past few years, maybe more than ever, Memorial Day really, really means something to our generation. And I always think about David K. Fridley on Memorial Day. And I hope everybody will take a chance to go out there and just do some research and find somebody that you can get to know a little bit, somebody who's paid that ultimate sacrifice on behalf of all of us, so that we might have that comforting feeling of safety. And, of course, Troy, the freedom you and I have to get on this radio program every Friday.
Yeah, it is, and really, we cannot say it enough, and cannot take these folks for granted. And one of the things that we did at the credit union is we posted a little salute in our Simple Sense blog, and also on the credit union website. And we're asking our members to simply give a shout out to the name, rank, and service that the military folks that they wanted to honor, and we would collect that data. So we're hoping that we'll get a lot of people play in that area.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. Well, listen, Troy, you have a great, great weekend out there in South Carolina. I'll be heading out to San Francisco with the musicians, and I should be back in plenty of time to be on the show next Friday. If it's Friday, it's Radio Free, and we look forward, as always, to continuing the conversation with all of y'all, wherever and whenever you may be listening. And, Troy, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, Jason. You too.
Take care, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Bye.